3 weeks since all of us found out that healthcare.gov was not doing so well. And by all of us, I mean all of us.
Anyway, now both candidates get some much-needed rest. I guess Mondale in the Virgin Islands, Reagan in the cabinet meetings.
Lyndon Johnson, they didn't let him talk for the first 6 months.
Before John Stewart, before Johnny Carson, before Lenny Bruce, there was Will Rogers.
But with Congress, every time they make a joke, it's a law, you know.
A very folksy Oklahoman and 20th century America's first political comic.
And every time they make a law, it's a joke.
In the 1920s and 30s, he was a superstar. And his most consequential bit of comedy was a speech he gave in 1931 that was later called Bacon, Beans, and Limousines. A recording of that speech has just been entered into the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry. To tell the story of Bacon, Beans, and Limousines, we've got an archivist.
My name is Steve Gregert. I am director of the Will Rogers Memorial Museums in Claremore and Ooligah, Oklahoma.
A Pulitzer Prize-nominated biographer.
My name is Richard D. White, Jr., and the name of the book is Will Rogers, A Political Life.
And a political satirist.
My name is Lewis Black, and I'm a stand-up comic, a playwright, and an actor. And I was born and raised around Washington, D.C., and if you're born and raised around Washington, D.C., and you don't know who Will Rogers is, then chances are you probably take antidepressants.
Don't get scared and start turning off your radios, huh? I'm not advertising or trying to sell you anything. If the mouthwash you're using is not the right kind and it tastes sort of like sheep dip, why, you just have to go right on using it. I can't advise any other kind at all. And if the cigarettes that you're using, why, if they don't lower your Adam's apple, why, I don't know of any that will. You just have to cut out apples, I guess. That's the only thing I know.
There was a real gentleness to his form of satire that is truly admirable. It gave the same sting, but did not need to be done in the kind of a harsh fashion that certainly myself and a number of other comics practice. Now,
I say, and have always claimed, that things would pick up in 32. But why 32? Well, because 32 is an election year. See? And the Republicans always see that everything looks good on election year, see? They give us three bad years and one good one, but the good one always comes on the year that the voting is, see? The Democrats are always just 1 year late with their election, see? Now, if they was running this year, well, they'd be all right, but they're 1 year late. Everything will pick up next year and be fine.
The title, Bacons and Beans Limousines, refers to the range of issues that Will Rogers is addressing. Bacons and beans, the common folks' meal, limousines representing the wealthy class.
We'll hold the distinction of being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile.
No one has ever taken over the media like Will Rogers. In the 1930s, Will was the most widely read newspaper columnist. He had a radio audience of 60 million. He wrote several books, and he was the number one box office attraction at the movies next to Shirley Temple.
That's the kind of impact that he had, and that's why presidents and other politicians sought him out. That's why Herbert Hoover would want him on the air on October the 18th, 1931.
My fellow citizens, this broadcast tonight marks the beginning of the mobilization of the whole nation for a great honor.
The Bacons and Beans Limousine speech, the production that night was part of a nationwide broadcast.
There has never been a situation like this where a president has shared the microphone with a personality like Will.
It's unimaginable at this point in time that a comedian would speak before the President of the United States.
I'm here this evening appearing on the bill with Mr. Hoover. So I expect you won't hear any more of Amos and Andy. It'll just be Hoover and Rogers from now on.
The main issue that Will and the President were addressing was giving some sort of relief to the American public in the throes of a depression.
With the foreclosures among farmers, the banks that were closing, 3,600 in 1930 to 31, the effects of the drought, the unemployment, which was in double figures.
The only problem that confronts this country today is that at least 7 million people are out of work. That's our only problem. There is no other one before us at all. It's to see that every man that wants to, able to work, is allowed to find a place to go to work, and also to arrange some way of getting a more equal distribution of the wealth in country.
I believe that the words equal distribution of wealth are really kind of important words, and as much a cornerstone of what American democracy is truly all about, even though it's not written in the Constitution.
Will Rogers disagreed with Hoover, but he said he was a good man.
Happiness hasn't been a steady diet with our president. He's had a very tough uphill fight. He's a very human man.
Now, that may be damning with faint praise, because when you say he's a nice man, you're also not saying that he's a great leader or a great statesman or that he's trying to solve the problems of the nation. This timing of this speech was probably the political death of Herbert Hoover and the upswing of Franklin D. Roosevelt. I mean, you could pin it on this date of this speech.
I don't suppose there's the most unemployed or the hungriest man in America has contributed in some way to the wealth of every millionaire in America. It wasn't the working class that brought this condition on at all. It was the big boys themselves who thought that this financial drunk we were going through was going to last forever. They over-merged and over-capitalized and over everything else. That's the fix that we're in now.
If we took away everything else he said and you just had him say equal distribution of wealth
in country
to our great-grandchildren so that they could then look it up, maybe if they don't know what it means anymore at all, and go, wow, that was an interesting idea.
That was Lewis Black. We also heard from Steve Gregart and Richard White. Our Peabody Award-winning series on the National Recording Registry is produced by Ben Manila and Devin Strolovich from BMP Audio. You can hear lots more of those stories at Studio360.org.